speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Is it right to do this or that? As a gospel preacher, I am oftentimes asked questions by our members and by members of the Lord's Church in our community and surrounding area, if you would. Even from time to time, ask questions by people out in our community. And usually people are asking questions that we're able to give book, chapter, and verse to. And as a result of that, people are satisfied with the questions that they have posed and the answers that we have been able to supply. And yet at the same time, I find it interesting that oftentimes too, though, I am asked questions that are about the questionable things in life. If you would, and I use these quotations, the questionable things in life. For instance, sometimes people will ask me, Kevin, is it right or wrong? Is it permissible for my young children who are in high school to go to the prom? I'm asked questions about this time of the year. It seems like every year, is it okay? Is it right? Is there anything wrong with a Christian going to the concert, the festivities over at Bonnaroo? Is it right for Christians to engage in the usage of tobacco? Is it right? Is there anything wrong with Christians engaging in gambling, playing the lottery, and things of that nature? Is it okay for a Christian to participate in any immodest behavior? In regard to the questions that people ask, and there are so many different ones, sometimes people are asking because they really and truly want to know. And whenever I have the opportunity to sit down with those who are asking questions such as what we have presented this morning, those who really and truly want to know, they go to the Scripture and they will investigate what it is that we have considered from a biblical standpoint, and they will make the wisest choices for either themselves or for their family members. I have learned also through the years is that sometimes whenever people ask questions like this, I've found them to somewhat be like the Pharisees who were questioning Jesus. They question because they want to trip you up. They question because they have a motive where that they are after you for one reason or another. And if you're that type of a questioner, please don't come after me as a preacher. If you're wanting to know true questions or answers for your questions, by all means, we will do everything that we possibly can to answer the questions that you have. In regard to the matter too, though, admittedly, sometimes people are looking for approval for what it is that they are wanting to do or what their children are seeking to engage in. And in that, usually the reason that they come to the preacher is that they see the preacher as some sort of an authority. If they do not go to the preacher, then they go to the elders and they say, is it right or wrong to do this or to do that? And friends, in that, if we give you things that are not found in Scripture, in other words, if we give you our opinion on a matter and we say that you can go and engage in this or that and you're going to be okay, then you need to understand is that we're just simply giving you opinion, and if we've not given you the Word of God on those matters, we will stand accountable to God as well as you will stand accountable to our God. In order to answer the questions, if you would, in regard to is it right to do this or that, I have a few questions that I believe will help us to answer the questions at hand today. To begin with, does the Bible deal directly with the matter? Does the Bible teach explicitly on the teachings or on the questions, rather, that you have in regard to is it right to do this or that? You see, the Bible is our authority for all things. And whenever it comes to the Bible, there are clear thou shalt and there are clear thou shalt not. For instance, the Bible says very explicitly is that it is sinful for anyone, and especially if you would, for Christians to engage in fornication. that is a sexual relationship that is people are a part of before they enter into the marriage relationship. Also, people question in regard to adultery. The Bible speaks very specifically about adultery. Is that those who would engage in adultery, that is sin. Murder. The Bible says that those who commit murder, is that they are sinning whenever they do so. It is a sin for people to steal. We are to work with our hands. We are to labor and to earn our keep in a fair way. The Bible speaks very directly, is that those who engage in homosexual lifestyle, those who have a relationship with those of the same sex in an immoral manner, that is sinful in the sight of God. God identifies from a biblical standpoint is that it is sinfully wrong to participate in the consumption of alcohol, in that of intoxicating drink. And the Bible very directly says is that those who do these explicit things is that they shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And because God deals with some very direct, specific things and does not deal with some general things in a direct manner, if you would, is that this has left some people to conclude, well, then it's up to me to decide. It's a judgment call, and therefore I can determine for myself if indeed it is right or wrong for me to engage in doing this or that. Friends, in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through verse 23, in the Apostle Paul's examination of these explicit teachings that God identifies to be sin, he concludes that list by saying, and such like. What's he mean? He says that even though God has listed in a very direct manner, in a very explicit fashion, some things that are sinful in the sight of God, there are other things that fall in the same category that are ungodly, that are according to the ways of this world, that are in that such-like figure or terminology that we need to take into consideration whenever it comes to doing this or that and understanding whether or not it is right in the sight of God. The bottom line is that it is our obligation to do right and to avoid wrong. In every situation, we need to gauge, we need to ask questions and to say, does God deal directly with this or does He deal implicitly with these things? And in doing so, am I bordering on the edges of doing wrong versus doing right? You see, I believe that there are some biblical rules that help us to gain answers to the questions that we have about doing this or that. Is it right to do this or that? When it comes to the Bible, again, explicitly, what has God said? When it comes to the Bible, implicitly, what is implied in such like? In the things that He has said directly, and then how would this such like relate with those things that He has named directly, and how does all those things factor into the world? God also then, as we turn to the Bible to gain answers to our questions about is it right to do this or that, He wants us to use logic. He also wants us to use reasoning and to make sure that our reasoning also and our logic is rooted and grounded in Scripture. And we need to be considering is that are we seeking to satisfy our worldly or fleshly lusts or desires, or are we really and truly looking at things from a spiritual perspective and seeking to do those things that are godly? The next question that I want to pose in regard to the question, is it right to do this or that, is how will it affect your Christian example? You may be here this morning and say, I really don't care how others feel or how or what people think. And friends, if that is indeed your take on matters, I believe that you have a heart issue. The Bible identifies is that we need to guard our hearts and we need to take into consideration what people think and also the way in which people feel about matters. The Bible also makes it very clear that we are to be a light unto the world. And that means is that as we are going about in our daily walk of life, as you're going off to work, as we're going out to the grocery store, as we're walking through our community, we are to live an exemplary life before the world so that they will know what Christianity is really and truly all about. I believe that this question that is before us, how will this affect your Christian example? I want to draw this to begin with to our parents and to say that parents should be painfully aware of this fact, is that our example, the thing that we engage in as a parent, will have a direct impact and influence upon our children. Parents, we only get one opportunity with our children. We only have one chance to raise them and to raise them according to God and according to God's will. And therefore, in regard to this matter, I want to challenge our parents and to say, as you're looking to making choices in life, and whether it's right to do this or that, ask yourself, will this affect my Christian influence upon my children as well as upon others? I remember years ago talking to an individual who was smoking and drinking and just living like the world. And the parents actually had sent me to this individual and said, "We raised our child in the church. Whenever the doors were open on Sunday morning and Sunday nights and Wednesdays, we were there." And I went, having not known this family for very long, I went and spoke with the son that they had told me about and spoke to him in regard to his living in the world. And he said to me, "Kevin," he says, "you probably don't know my parents very well, do you?" And I said, "No, I do not. Admittedly, I do not." And he says, "Yes, my parents are right. We were there on Sunday mornings, we were there on Sunday nights, we were there on Wednesday nights." And he says, "Whether they told you or not, we were also there for vacation Bible schools and gospel meetings and things of that nature." And he said, "I heard a lot and saw a lot of good examples whenever it comes to the church. But," he says, "my dad gave me the worst example of what a Christian really and truly is all about." And I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And he said, "My dad's a smoker. My dad's a drinker. My dad will cuss like a sailor whenever you're not around." I didn't know those things about his father, and I didn't immediately believe those things about his father until I went and sat with his father. And the father says, "Well, nobody's perfect." Friends, that's right. None of us are perfect. But at the same time, we need to understand that the impact that we can leave upon our children will have an eternal impact upon them if we're not very careful. And therefore, I believe that it's important for parents to ask above all, will this affect my relationship? Will this affect my example to my children as well then as to others? You see, additionally, I believe that the world watches our lives to see whether or not we are living a Christ-like life, whether or not we are making the right choices on whether it's right to do this or that. Whether we're just going through life and going and doing those questionable things, if you would, like the world's doing, or whether we're different and stand out. You see, whenever it comes to this matter, above all, I want to remind us is that we are all accountable to God whenever it comes to our examples in the end. But then also, another question that I want to pose as we seek to answer the question, is it right to do this or that? Is it the first step in the wrong direction? How many times have you heard, or maybe you've said it yourself, "I've got this. Don't worry about it. Yes, I'm going to be hanging out with these people, but you're not going to have an impact on me." Or you've heard somebody say, "It's only one drink. Come on. I'm not going to get hooked on it or anything like that." How many times have we heard people in arrogance or maybe in a foolish manner say that they've got this or that? And in regard to this matter, friends, we need to understand is that when it comes to sin, whenever it comes to the questionable things in life, is it right to do this or that? I want to remind us that one becomes a slave to his appetite as well as to his passions. You see, the Bible teaches us is that that which we see, we oftentimes then look upon. And that which we look upon is that which we lust after. Ask David about that. He looked, did he not, upon Bathsheba. He lusted after Bathsheba, and then he went after her. That became his pursuit. Also, though, those things which we hear, oftentimes, that's the manner in which we go. Admittedly, years and years ago, I used to listen to, as a teenager, I used to listen to the most vulgar things, looking back on it now. At the time, I didn't really see anything wrong with it. I used to listen to groups such as Metallica. I used to listen to groups such as AC/DC and other such ungodly groups that sing a bunch of ungodly things about having a sexual relationship outside of marriage, about using drugs and things of that nature, and thinking to myself, it's not going to have an impact on me. And those who know me, know those who've been a part of this congregation for any time at all, you've heard me say before that there was a time in my life where that I used to smoke, drink, and I even experienced one time with a sniffing drug called Rush and never did it again. But at the same time, what led me to those things? It was because at some point in time, I had taken that first step in the wrong direction that fed an appetite and a passion to go and to do those things that were wrong, those things that the Bible either explicitly or implicitly identifies as sin. But then also this morning I want us to realize is that it is easier not to start things than to quit them. And I was thinking this morning about the best way to illustrate this, and the best illustration that I've come up with is my mom and dad taught me and my siblings, don't play with fire. Because if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Well, guess what? It seemed like whenever they said, don't play with fire, that resonated. And we said, okay, they don't want us to do it, so let's do it. And my brother and I, we would strike a match in the house. And Mom would say, are you guys lighting a match? No, Mom, we didn't do that. I smell it. She had a very keen smell for things like that. So we got a little wiser as we got older and said, well, if she can smell it, let's take it outside. So we took it outside and we'd strike our matches and you know, we thought we were having fun with it. I guess we thought we were sparklers or something back then. And one occasion, he and I got this idea that we were going to build a little bitty bonfire. Little bitty. About like this. We gathered together some little twigs and we struck our match, we lit it, put some leaves in there, lit it, and it's taken off. And we're feeding it, throwing other things on it. And before we know it, this little bitty fire has grown tremendously to where by the time in which it was finished, it consumed a wood that was about the size of this auditorium. They called the fire department in to put it out. And the fire department said to my mom, I'm standing right there, you need to teach your kids not to play with matches. And Mom looked at us and said, how many times have I said? We were a little embarrassed. We were very sore by the time my dad got done with us. And I learned a valuable lesson. It's easier not to start a fire than to put it out. And that's true whenever it comes to our lives. People engage in questionable things that lead to sin, or that maybe themselves are sin. And then they'll go on and they'll go on and they'll go on and go on, and then they say, I don't know how in the world I let this take over my life. If I had only known then what I know now, I would have never done this. You see, whenever it comes to answering this question, is it the first step in the wrong direction? I believe that it's important for us to know what Paul said. And Paul said very clearly, abstain from every form of evil. If it's questionable, then we ought to be questioning, why am I questioning this in the first part? I ought to just choose the smartest way. I must choose the obvious Christ-like way to live and to go and to make the decision. Whenever it comes to this or that. But then also, another question that I want us to think about this morning is, what would Jesus want me to do? Many of us are wearing bracelets about praying for Caitlin. And Caitlin, we love you and we are praying for you continually. And there are other bracelets that people have worn through the years. I remember years ago wearing the bracelet WWJD. Phyllis is nodding her head. Did you have one too, Phyllis? A lot of us probably, if we didn't wear the bracelets, we thought about that. What would Jesus do? It's very popular. I wish it were still as popular today as what it was back then. What would Jesus have me to do? And in this, Christians, we must concern ourselves with this. Not about the world. Not about whether or not mom and dad's going to be okay with it. That's important, but is it going to be all right with God? Am I going to glorify God in this? Is He going to get recognition or condemnation for the choices that I make in life, for the direction that I live in life? You see, it is imperative for us to think like Jesus thought whenever He was here. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to the world. And there's that step in the wrong direction. Don't be conformed to the world, but rather be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through verse 8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In that context, he's talking about the servant mindset. He's talking about how that we need to serve one another. He's talking about how that we need to serve the world and to be evangelistic. That's what's going on in that context. But also, whenever it comes to making decisions, is it right to do this or that? What would Jesus have done? What would Jesus have me to do, to think about? What direction would He want me to go in? You say, well, Kevin, you're saying that it's imperative for us to think like Jesus. Friends, in order for us to act like Jesus, we first got to think like Jesus. And therefore, whenever we think like Jesus, our decisions to choose that which is right will be much easier. It'll be clearer. It'll be more obvious. You see, the blessings in making the right choices about doing this or that has rewards to it. If we don't choose right, there's condemnation and possibly eternal condemnation if we don't get those things straightened out in the here and now. But for those who make the right choices, who are constantly engaging in saying, how would God want me to live? And then basing their choices off of those things, some of these things that we've talked about this morning and even other things from a biblical standpoint or perspective. Whenever we do those things and make the right choices, and even whenever we make a wrong choice and a choice and learn from our wrongs, those who make godly choices will dwell eternally in heaven with our God. I want to leave you with this thought this morning. As you're making choices in life, remember, it's never right to do wrong. And therefore, turn to the Bible. Pray to God also. Consult mature Christians and do all that you possibly can to make the right choice or choices in doing this or that. This morning, if you're here and you're outside of the body of Christ, we want to encourage you to become a Christian. If you're not, to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, to submit yourself to be baptized in Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you're here and you are a Christian and maybe you've made some wrong choices in doing this or that, and you realize that today, maybe you come to realize today, or maybe you've come to realize this even before today, is that this has led you away from God and now you need the prayers of the church. And if that's your situation this morning, we want you to know that we will receive you also with open arms and we will pray with you and for you that you will be restored and restored, that you will be forgiven and restored back into a relationship with God once again. If you're subject to God's call this morning, please come.